What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? This is Bear with us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm f***ing fantastic.
Wow. Clearly, the second word you spoke on the podcast was an F-bomb. You must be feeling great.
I'm feeling great. I'm on my second glass of Prosecco. We are live at the PA Market, and I'm so excited.
This is ridiculous. The fact that something that we started on Instagram out of complete and sheer boredom with a little help from the New York Times... really skyrocketed this into the stratosphere.
I think you need to explain this for the people, how this happened.
The people. All 27 of you. Thank you. Goddamn.
You guys are
thank
amazing.
You. How nice is it to be out of quarantine with other human beings in a public place drinking alcohol?
What is happening?
It's
right
pretty
now?
Great. It is pretty awesome. We are excited. This was an awesome opportunity. PA Market's been awesome for us, so support the cause. Bars are open, food menus all night. It's been really, really cool. They've been great for us. But for those of you who may not be totally familiar from Jump, Bear With Us is a podcast that came to be, as I mentioned, from our little Instagram live board sessions in the morning where we would just kind of react to the day prior in quarantine because none of us knew what the hell that was actually about. So we were kind of using it as a coping mechanism, and some people caught wind of what we were doing, namely the New York Times, because I stuck my foot in my mouth, and thank God that the New York Post, I'm sorry, not the Times, the Post, was there to catch me and exploit my idiocy for the world to see. Because I made a comparison, hence the name of our podcast. I compared myself to a panda bear.
Basically, what he said is he doesn't want to have sex with me anymore.
I compared myself to a panda bear in that I was in quarantine, and panda bears are notorious for not wanting to breed, right? That's like a thing. That's why panda bears are extinct. That's why they're almost not in existence anymore, because it's hard to make panda bears screw. So I simply used the analogy that being stuck in quarantine with no external stimulation for several weeks had maybe slowed my libido slightly, in that we had gone, what, I don't know, 4 days with not having sex, and Leah here likes to throw me under the bus as though I just gave up.
We had just moved in together. We're like, you know, it was fun. It was exciting. I'm like, oh my God, I get to live with this man that I'm obsessed with, who has the best penis I've ever seen in my life. And I would like come at him, and he'd be like, no, babe, not now. And I'm like, what? Then why not? Not now? Then when? Then when?
I've never truly understood the meaning of being uncomfortable, but having you talk about my penis in front of a room full of friends and people that we don't know, a little bit uncomfortable. It's different when we're in the studio and it's just you and me. It's very, like she's going to sleep at our house tonight.
Yeah, but you're not going to see.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm kidding.
You're not seeing the member.
But so that's a long story. Long story short, that's how we got here. We are just two people who seem to be very in love and get through the weeks one way or another. And feel like everybody sort of can relate to that. Like, relationships can suck really bad.
They sure can.
And there are a lot of things that people need to work on that people gloss over. And based on social media and hearing everybody's greatest hits of their life, you go, oh, well, my friend never has that problem with her significant other. Or, oh man, my friend's wife is the best. I need a wife just like her. They suck sometimes, right? Anybody in here that's in a relationship that tells me you have not had a perfect or you have had all perfect days, you are a liar,
well,
right?
That's the problem with social media, I feel like. Social media puts that out there. Everyone just only puts the best, their best self, their best relationship out there. Everything that's perfect, perfect, perfect. But that's not the reality, because they just want to present themselves to be this perfect couple.
Right. And the whole world found out about us via the New York Post and a bullshit story. So we just kind of, you know, rolled with it and let it take its course. And now it is what it is. And we've been through the war. We started our relationship at the absolute worst possible point it could have started. Like, in any relationship, any scenario, other than maybe gunpoint, I think we've probably started at the very, very bottom, the base of where things can go. We made it. And now we are such egomaniacs, we feel as though we can tell other people how to make their lives better.
I don't think we're trying to make other people's lives better. I think we're just trying to say, hey, we go through shit. This is how we try to deal with it. And we're just trying to make it normal because everyone thinks, you know, the grass is always greener, but it's not always true.
You're right. The grass is never greener.
It's
ever,
never greener.
In any scenario.
It's greener where you water it.
Yes.
So you got to put time, effort, love. You got to nurture it and it will grow.
But I feel a bit hypocritical in that we have done these podcasts for almost a year now.
Yeah.
And we've had wildly famous celebrity guests and, you know, all sorts of different engagements and input and opinions, but we've never asked anybody to talk about us.
So that's what the Bear With Us listeners want. They've asked for it.
Who wants that?
They've asked to hear from people who know us, from people that it's not just us talking about this is how we do things, this is a fight we got into, this is what makes us tick. They want people to confirm it.
To confirm that we are, in fact, as in love as we claim to be. Is that what we're looking for? We're looking for an external confirmation of internal feelings. Well,
look no further.
Guys, please welcome two of our very best friends in the entire universe who know us probably better than definitely any other couple, Aaron and Danielle.
Oh my God, this is so cool.
I know. I'm so excited.
This is very unusual. This is, we are putting ourselves on the spot here, but we needed two people who actually know us. And I don't know that anybody aside from my friend Mike, who's seated right there, who knows me quite as well as Aaron knows me.
Shout out for Mike.
Mike, shout out Mansuri.
So Aaron, how long have you and I been friends? Like,
not to date ourselves, but since high school. How about
right,
that?
So like 18 years.
18 years sounds about right. And I've been through, I would say, just about every woman in your life.
Oh, damn.
You've been present for everyone.
Present.
Not
sorry,
through.
Sorry. Not that was through. That no. Was
a, yeah. Wow.
He's
really?
Only been through half of them, Dan.
Oh, sorry, I just, became a guest on the show.
I did not know
stay for a
that
bit.
Info.
And you two have been married for how long now?
It's going to be 10 years in November.
Married 10 years.
Married.
Wow.
Married 10 years.
Married. How long have you known each other?
It'll be 14 years in August.
Oh, my God.
Quick proposal for me, apparently.
Yeah.
4 years it took you.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's amazing.
With a relationship in between.
Right.
There was a time out.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Well, put into context, we met in college.
Okay.
So I think college is different than real life, kind of. So her senior year of college, my seventh senior year. We did break up for a year and... What, sowed our wild oats?
Okay, a lot of people go to college for 8 years, Stro.
Yeah, they're called doctors.
He's not one.
I am not a doctor.
But regardless, you guys ended up together and you're together, which is amazing. And I had no idea. I knew you guys were married for a while, but I had no idea you were together for 14 years.
Yeah.
Me neither,
yeah.
Leah.
But the fact that you guys, when we hang out with you, I'm like, they're so in love. And I just love that.
So,
I love that you've been together for so long.
So while we are still relatively in the honeymoon phase of things... you guys have endured, and you are avid listeners, not only our friends, you guys listen to the nonsense that we spew
absolutely.
Week after week after
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
I love it every week.
Long time listeners, first time guests.
There we go. First time guests. But what would you say, or is there anything that you've heard on the show that you went, yes, that's dead on, or conversely, what the hell do these guys think they're talking about? That never works.
So I definitely agree with the three pillars. The three pillars of communication, honesty and sex are definitely three that I totally agree with.
Great. We're
I also think
there.
That Aaron and I have a fourth pillar that I would add of like just being best friends, like being really good friends.
Okay.
And I know you guys have talked about not having the same hobbies and not like leaning into each other too much about, you know, like I don't have to love what he does every single day, but at the same time, enjoying each other's.
Yeah, we had a conversation similar to that last night in the hotel because we started a chat and went down a rabbit hole. Next thing you know, it was like an hour and a half later and we were just like, wow, what we accomplished nothing. We didn't solve anything.
Nope.
It was just like, we haven't talked about this. And then it spawns one thought into the next. And the next thing you know, it's 90 minutes later and we're both just going, should we go to bed now?
Yeah, or yeah.
But I feel like that's a recurring theme with you guys. When we hang out with you guys, it's like we start talking about one thing. And there's never a dull moment like, oh, what should we talk about next? It's like on to the next thing you know, 3 hours later, we're like 20 drinks deep and we're still at the restaurant after we finished our meal like 2 hours ago. But like that's just what it's like with you guys because it's best friend.
But I think, you know, coming into meeting you and not knowing you and knowing what you guys would be like, I think a story that I go back to is one of the first times we hung out, we went to our favorite restaurant, which I won't mention here because they're not a sponsor.
But we're in business anymore, I don't think.
I think they're still in business. But either way, it was COVID times and we didn't know if we could get a table or if reservations were available. You guys were supposed to get there 7-ish. We came a little later. We texted you, called you, didn't hear from you. I'm like, well, there's no way they're there yet. And Danielle's like, no. They get really deep into conversations where they lose track of everything in each other's eyes.
I said, they're not even looking.
And I'm like, yeah, they're definitely just not there yet. Sure enough, we get there and you two are at a table seated right outside, just in-depth conversation. And you look up and you're like, oh, hey guys.
Oh, hi. And then we both looked at our phone. We had messages from both. We were like, she's like, oh,
we said we were coming. We texted and called you, but you guys were in love.
Now, I want to ask you guys each individually, unless you agree and it's the same answer.
Okay.
Over your 10 years, off the tops of your heads, what is the biggest obstacle you guys have had to deal with?
I would say at the beginning definitely was finances. I feel like finances were a big like thing that a lot of...
Premarital or postmarital?
Both.
Probably the blending of finances, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're doing stuff and you think it's good with the money, but then she may not exactly think it's good with
I would
the money.
Say that definitely was our biggest struggle at first.
As you know me, I'm a bit of a sports gambler, so...
Aaron had a bit of a gambling problem. So that didn't help matters, but... You know, you see yourself through that. You find middle ground and you work through those things. And I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If you love someone, it's not always sunshine and butterflies. It's, you know, you got to like find the middle ground and work through those things. And
what would you say is your biggest pet peeve about each other?
Oh, God.
Oh, I know mine.
What is it?
I know what Aaron's going to say about mine. Oh, it's basically the same. So go ahead.
Oh, I meant you were going to say about me.
Oh, okay. What were you going to say about me?
That you hide my
AKA, I put shit away.
There is a difference in mentality and gender. If you are a man, you set something somewhere because you know where to find it.
On the my counter. Man. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I know it's there. It's right there in the open so that I don't forget.
Yep.
I know I need to return that mail.
Sure.
So it sits right there.
Yeah, let's put it right on the goddamn counter.
Yeah.
Listen, her mom, God bless her mom, she comes over like every Friday to help us out. Does laundry, does whatever. But I know when her and her mom have gone through stuff, I'm not finding any of my shit.
Yeah, you don't know where it is.
Yeah. Because I knew where it was. It was on the kitchen counter or it was on the dresser.
No longer on the kitchen counter.
Not there anymore.
It belongs on the kitchen counter.
I'm with you.
But here's the problem. They also don't know where it is now.
That's true. I forget.
They saw it. They knew they put it away.
I'm going to give you an example. You know, it's quarantine, so I wear sweatpants 6 days a week. Had to have a belt tonight. I was amazed that she knew where the belt was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Knew where the belt was.
How did you, as a man, not know where your belt was?
Because when it gets washed, I don't take it out of the
belt. There are very few things that I can guarantee that I know where they are. Like, my belt is probably on the list. Like, my belt.
Championship belt or a regular?
No, just like a regular belt.
Regular belt.
So what is your biggest pet peeve about him?
It's the same thing, that he doesn't put away.
Okay. Yeah,
so his pet peeve about me is the reverse.
Right. Our daily text goes something like this. If you could have a guess, where would X and Y be
now? My normal answer is your car. I bet it's in the car.
I just drove some people here tonight. My car is very clean. No? Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. Now, we want to ask you guys. This is the opportunity to put us on blast, so to speak.
Sure. I've been waiting for this moment.
This is the most, to the best of our ability, the most honest podcast on the internet. And you guys are familiar. You know who we are as people and what we portray. What was your first thought when you met Leah?
Oh,
man.
Wow.
So we'll do the short version of that story, I guess. Yeah. So Matt and Leah moved back, which I am their realtor, by the way. Not a plug for myself. But if you need a house in the greater Pittsburgh area.
That's right. DM me. I'll get forward to
anyway. So when they finally found a place, Matt and I decided to go to lunch quickly. I think I had practice or something that night. I also coach high school sports. We started out like noon. Danielle dropped me off.
Yeah. Noon-ish.
5 o'clock. Danielle, after work, texts me, are you at practice? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm still at the same exact spot you dropped me off at.
Same seat.
Five hours later.
So we had never met Leah at this point. We obviously had seen Leah in her day job, which is whatever it is. So we had formulated opinions about Leah, but not met her. At that point, all Matt had told us is that Leah was coming home soon, later that night. We didn't really know where she was. It turns out she was in like Chicago promoting her wine, which by the way, sold out tonight. Long story short, Danielle joins us. We continue to drink more. And about 10 or 11 o'clock that night, we end up back at their place. And here comes Leah with all her luggage.
After a day of traveling, she had apparently already indicated
to Matt that all she wanted to do was go to sleep that night and not meet.
My side of the story is the entire day I was working, traveling. My grandfather just passed away at like the week prior. And I said to Matt, listen, tonight I don't want to do anything. I just want me and you. I want to chill. I'm like sad. And he's like, no worries. It's just me and you. No big deal. I said, like, I want to meet your friends. I can't wait to meet your friends. But tonight is not the night. He said, no worries. I'll take care of it. I walked through the door. And there you guys are. And I'm like, oh, my God. I feel so bad. Like, I wanted to meet you. I could not wait to meet you. But he told me, oh, I'm just sitting at home hanging out. Didn't say anything that you guys were there.
So Leah was a total bitch to us.
We left that night quickly after, saying, this is weird. My best friend moved home. We're not going to be hanging out with him all that much.
Never be seen again.
Oh, I felt so bad.
But in all seriousness, and I think Matt's a lot like me in this, we don't be fake with each other. So if we don't like someone, it just is what it is.
Right.
And we very much could have carried on him and I being friends and us hanging out every so often. Luckily, the next time we hung out, Leah and Danielle probably are starting to become closer than me and Matt. So, which is not what we expected, because not to judge you off of your character.
Persona,
maybe, that people see on TV, but we didn't know anything else. So, did not expect you to be like this. And I think the biggest thing that I enjoy is that you give it back to Matt just as much as I do.
Yes, you have to.
Gotta have somebody that hangs with me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Balls as hard as I do. I tend to think that we are four of the wittiest people I know, yet we came in dead last in the trivia contest.
Went number five tonight.
Yeah, I did just meet. There he is. However, we participated in a local Pittsburgh trivia contest and came in dead last.
Dead last.
Although I will say, I, out of all of us, came up with the most right answers, and no one listened to me.
We didn't believe her.
I was like, this is the answer. And everyone's like, no, that's not it. I'm like, ugh. Whatever. I appreciate hearing that. I like that.
Yeah.
So my thing that I love the most about you two is that I feel like you have great chemistry. You work well together even behind the scenes. So sure, anybody can put on a podcast and pretend.
We're like Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
Count and Cookie Monster.
One.
He does the letters, right?
He only does the numbers, I believe.
But when we're out and about and just the four of us hanging out, it's not fake. It's not pushed. It's not scripted. And it's the same that you guys are portraying on the podcast. You guys just have good back and forth. You have good chemistry. I feel like you're honest with each other, and it's wonderful. It works.
I'm going to throw a curveball your way.
Sure.
Because you just said very nice things about us, which I agree with for the most part. But you've been friends with Leah enough now, long enough, that when she and I get after it and get into it,
sure,
she needs a friend to vent.
Sure.
What's it like being on that side of things? Not just with us, just in a relationship. I've never been there.
So I think that, of course, like girls always need someone to vent to. And so Leah and I have both vented to one another about our relationships. Leah's very grounded. She makes good points. And so I think that when you guys get into any type of argument, especially after a few drinks,
but still
her arguments and her why she's upset is pretty realistic. It's not it's not out of hand. And I know that's what you want me to say. You wanted me to say that, like, she's dramatic and she's, but you, sir, are more dramatic than she is.
To put it into perspective, to recall an argument that happened after a night of drinking alcoholic beverages, you two were in a car somewhere complaining about things. And I texted him and said, if it wasn't COVID, we could at least go to a bar, thinking he's equally as upset as you are. Instead, he says, I have no idea what's happening right now. I'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
Well, that's what he likes to put
it's
out
a lot
there.
Of one-sided yeah. anger.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. My favorite thing about him is he, like, cuts for my throat and then is like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, it's good. Like,
Aaron's the same
like,
way.
He doesn't want to, like,
he and Aaron fight. Yeah, they fight the exact same way. They go for the neck, and then the next day they're like, oh, I didn't actually really mean like that.
Yeah, well, then you
Well, listen, it's not an earth-shattering relationship-ending fight all the time.
So then what's the
Then
point?
Why do you say the things that you say during
Well, because him and I know that the next day you're going to wake up, and you're going to be, hey, here we are again.
Well, maybe one day you're going to wake up, and then you won't be. Well,
until maybe. We're not. Until yes. we're not. Until me and Leah have gone off and made our own relationship.
And we're going to be in a throuple
as long
with
as
Dennis
y'all
Rodman.
Film it.
Me, Leah, and
Matt
and Dennis
will be at the
Rodman.
Casino seeing what's up.
I'll be on Olympus Strikes. Beating the lever to death.
Oh my God.
Is there anything that you have learned or applied to your, or a conversation at least you've had based on anything that we basically made up on the fly? You've been like, oh man, Matt and Leah were talking about this thing.
Man, probably everything.
We are so wise. It's insane.
You guys are wise beyond
Very
your
wise.
Years.
Very wise. Beyond your years.
Or is conversely, is there something you listen to and you've been like, oh, Matt and Leah just opened the mailbag and told this guy this. That will never fucking work.
I don't think you're throwing out stuff that isn't reasonable or isn't realistic, but every relationship is what
I'm
going to
start.
So.
I'm going to start. Changing
sure.
everything.
Sure.
I'm going to go completely 180 in the opposite
go
direction.
Row.
They're like,
go
oh,
row.
My girlfriend is sad. How can I help? And I'm like, you better get a goddamn diamond implanted in your forehead, like Lil Uzi Vert.
Tattoo
you
on
better,
your face.
Yes, you better have an ice cream cone somewhere on your jawline.
Perfect.
That's what's going to fix everything.
I think that's really going to get you some views. I just wish that we would have talked about this prior to, and Leah and I could have maybe like harmonize some singing up here to really.
I didn't even get to sing tonight.
To really get the crowd going. I mean, I don't
to sing.
So here's the deal: the mailbag, because we're recording this on a Saturday, which is not our usual recording schedule. The mailbag is barren.
It's empty.
It is empty.
Hopefully, someone has
brought this swell fish bowl.
Questions.
There were some questions in there. We should maybe suggest another round. There's a microphone over there. I would love
head of security, Mike. Are you going to come get
for
the fish bowl?
Anybody? Anybody to walk up and approach that microphone and ask questions.
They might be intimidated by Mike, to be honest.
I want my man who's been hanging out. There we go. This is my guy right here. You have been my lone frame of reference tonight, sir, and I appreciate you greatly.
Got it.
Do we have a question? Oh, you have a question on a properly colored card and everything, man. You are ahead of the game.
I listen.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Relationship, right? You got to listen.
Right.
Aww. So, there we go. Between the two of you, what were your relationship goals when you first started and how have they changed now?
Oh,
that's a great question.
Well, my goal is to...
My first goal was to get all up in... Never mind.
Well, I got the goal that I had was to touch his butt and I still haven't gotten there yet.
There's a lot of butt
reach
stuff.
Reach for your dreams.
Yeah. I would say... Everything kind of happened by accident at first. There is nothing about our relationship that can be considered conventional because it was like this very new thing that all of a sudden got thrust into the public eye and we both became bad people because of errant facts. The initial goal was like, let's get through this. Let's figure this out and make it through. The whole time I'm going, oh, I get it. She's going to skate like any day now. And she didn't. So now I would say our goals now are more normal. Like, it's fun to look forward to, like, standard couples goals. Like, we had a conversation last night. Like, oh, maybe we'll get married. Maybe we'll have a kid. Maybe we'll do any number of normal, and I keep using the air quotes, because we've just never had that luxury. Like, with our life outside of here, it's crazy. It's chaos. You're in the public eye. You've got people... judging you and creating all of this mayhem around you, that it's like, wow, something as boring and simple as like an anniversary. Cool, because we don't really have one. Like, you know what I mean? We're doing it backwards, but goals have changed, to answer your question.
My goal was to
put her finger in my ass. They know that.
Well, we already know that. Made it. But my goal was to be with someone that accepted me for me, and I was able to be myself and not feel, you know, nervous or intimidated to like, oh my gosh, like this is how I feel, this is how I want to be. And I wasn't sure if Matt would be that guy. And when I started slowly like showing him the real, because of course you put your best self forward when you first start dating someone, but like, you know, slowly but surely I would let like little glimpses of who I really am out, and he didn't run away. So I'm like, okay, cool, then this is the guy for me. And
also glimpses of her boobs. That helped. That did not hurt anything.
Totally.
Sure. Awesome. Congratulations on the goals now, then, and congratulations on the goals now, and best of luck.
Hey, man, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Yeah, we appreciate you guys. Thank you. Honestly, it's very cool.
Oh.
Can I ask a question, please?
Oh, yes. This could be dangerous.
Dude, yeah. No.
This is actually legitimate. Thank you for the compliment, man. I'll give you your 20 later. So, quarantine has been very, very hard on couples everywhere. People have been locked in, spending an inordinate amount of time together, getting on each other's nerves. What do you guys do for each other to pick each other up when one is kind of on the downside of this thing?
That's a tremendous question. I'm going to defer to you because I'm usually the one on the down end of things that needs lifting.
Man, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm a silly, stupid person. I like to have fun. And for the most part, when you're down, I'm just trying to make you laugh. And we have common interests, so like we like watching the same shows. We like.
We don't though. Laughing. We have a very, very different tastes in.
But like when it comes to the shows we binged during quarantine,
right.
We were like so looking forward to them every day. Like, oh my god, I can't wait to wake up, have our coffee, and start our show that we were watching last night. Like, right. You know what I mean? It's not sexy. It's not like lovey dovey, but it's just we're best friends. Sure. And we like doing that stuff together.
Right on. Aaron, Danielle, how have you guys kept each other sane during this? Not only during quarantine, but after 10 years and now quarantine.
14 years.
14
together.
Years, sure. Shows are a big part.
Yeah.
Finding shows. And then when you end a show, it's like very heartbreaking. It's like breaking up with a person.
Totally.
Yes.
You know, you got to find a new show now. So it's on, you know, her or I to find a new show.
Wait, I want to dive into that for a second because that's a great comparison.
Yeah.
Finishing a television show that you love and then it ends and you know that's it. It's no longer. It's very similar to finding a human being, like, or to going, I'm done with this person for one reason or another, because that is almost like that weird tentative point where do I want to jump in? Do I want to devote many hours into this new show?
Right.
So you maybe like kind of dip your toes in, you flirt a little bit, you go, oh, I don't know.
And it's almost like a relationship you know has to end.
That's
because you
want
to binge it as fast as you can, but you know when you get to the end,
it's
all over.
Yeah.
There's no turning back.
That's very valid.
And that season finale is like great, but horrible.
So depressing.
Right.
So depressing.
Yeah.
And I think that the other thing that Aaron and I have in common is that we both like to watch sports. But the one thing that was lacking during quarantine was sports.
It didn't exist.
So, we had to find all of these television shows that, like, okay, I would have a deep interest in, and he'd have, like, somewhat of an interest in. And we'd be like, okay, fine. Like,
Danielle, how much do you love the Korean Baseball League right now?
Listen, we put a lot of money into the Korean Baseball League.
Not only that, if there was MMA fights happening anywhere, in someone's basement, in Iraq.
We had money on it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're getting fight pass to watch it.
One more thing I wanted to say about the pandemic and just being in quarantine is that I had a loss during quarantine, and I didn't think that I would get through it. And you're right, just having someone to be silly with and laugh with and be best friends with.
Sure.
I mean, you need that all the time, but especially during this ridiculously awkward moment in all of our lives. It's just crazy, and I'm so thankful for Aaron because I don't know how I would have gone through
that friendship. Like,
Small disclaimer to any Pittsburgh sports fans listening. The Steelers were 11-0 until Matt and Leah watched the game with us.
But listen to you say that. It almost sounds profound and silly thinking about, like, being your partner's best friend. Because that's not what's ever sold or presented as a tenet of a relationship. Right? You watch, it's all
glitz and glamour and
romance
and dinners and lingerie. Yeah, and, right. and there's all of these tropes that yeah. are, that's what love looks like.
Yeah.
But it's kind of profound when you think, if you think about it this way, right? You find a person that is your best friend who you can also have sex with. You win.
Exactly.
Basically, that's
kind of
it.
You get to live with that person. You get to spend
not to put her over more than I need to, but, you know, when I first met her, you know, to me, it was like, okay, is she the girl that's going to be the next girl, or is it a girl that you're just kind of with because sexually that happens?
She's pleasing to the eyes. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Pleasantly.
There we go. There we go. We said nice things about you. I was in the chat.
Leah told me the only way I could be on the show is to say nice things
about you. Just put me over, goddammit.
That is it.
Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thank you guys for hanging out. I'm going to put out a last call, if you will. Not for alcohol, because this place is serving for a while.
I need a drink.
Non-Capucana, that's sold out.
Yes, no Capucana Red is sold out. This is the last call for Never Have I Ever and or questions before we shut this debacle down.
Okay, well, we love you guys.
We had a great time.
We did. Absolutely.
No, guys. I'm a first time comment. I'm a long time listener, though.
Who's this handsome guy?
Hi, my name is
Red Balloon.
This is Saul. Nice to meet you. My question for the panel, all four of you, is how do you handle it when you, like, what do you... You know, how do you let your lover know that you've gone too far in the bedroom?
There's got to be a safe word.
Yes, pineapple.
Ours is pomoni.
No, but everyone knows in the heat of passion, you might forget a word. Is there a conversation you have about what cards you want to push, how far the envelope goes?
When you can't breathe, it's gone too long.
Is there a swatting mechanism? I heard Leah talk about butt play.
These are the two that talk about butt play. So I'm
Matt, do you have like karate chop action when she goes for your back door?
I'm like G.I. goddamn Joe.
No, but
is that Dale Van Dale on the mic? I feel like there's a little bit of a Boston accent going on.
Guys, it's a serious question. You know, sometimes couples don't know when, you know, if they've gone too far.
That's why you have to talk ahead of time. You have to have a plan.
How does that go? Give me the talk.
So, like, for example, it's like this. Baby, tonight I would like to touch your butt.
No.
Okay. There you have it. Not happening then. You have to respect their boundaries.
I mean, but, you know, what if you've got, like, a little kink? What if you got, you know, everyone's got an itch they want to scratch. How do you get there? Look, Leah wants to do, you know, amateur proctology. Matt, I'm sure you want to become a urologist.
We appreciate your question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Security.
Very brave.
Security. Is security here?
who knows? Do you have any parting thoughts for the Bear With Us listeners here on YouTube? They'll be able to see us now.
Here's the thing. It's all about having fun, trying new things. It's never going to go the way you want it to go, but that's okay. And it's all a learning process. And I have fun.
Yeah. Set butt stuff.
Yeah, I suppose.
Someday I'll be able to touch Matt's butt.
Well, it's never going to happen. That's what they call in the business.
Never have I ever.
Thank you guys. This is a wild experiment that I don't know how it turned out, but thank you all for hanging out with us.
I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, hopefully you don't hate us now. Goodbye forever.